Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, for a nice long break. First off, Frank has a dedication before we introduce Mr. Don Henderson, Mr. Roger Hummer, and Mr. Roy Cummings. Frank, for dedication, please.
Okay, Tommy, there's two things we have. One, we've been asked by Sarasota Memorial Hospital to make a PSA, and that is they are expecting this COVID revamp to be extremely tough. And they're asking that when you go into a crowd of, like the stores or anything like that, that you wear a mask again. It's just a suggestion. It's not an order. But they said to protect yourself, because even those who have been vaccinated are getting the second time around. And it's not as bad as the first time, but they're asking that we ask everybody to please use caution, wash your hands often, and again, wear a mask when you're in public. This program is going to be dedicated to a lady who really went through hell over the last 57 years. She passed away last Saturday. I'm sorry, last Thursday. Kathleen Friel-Werfelt. Kathy was a graduate of St. Pius X High School in Pottstown, the St. Joseph's Hospital School of Nursing in Reading. Was married to Captain Bob Werfelt, United States Army Signal Corps, and has two children and six grandchildren. For everything she went through, Kathy is finally at peace, and we're happy with that.
Absolutely. Frank, just to follow up on the COVID, the Phillies-Washington game tonight was postponed because of COVID-19.
Well,
there you
go,
Don. Just what you were talking about with the NFL.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. The head of the Players Association said, talked about the fact that the games, if they weren't able to be played, they made them up last year, as everybody knows, on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or whatever. They're not going to be able to do that this year because of the fact that the stadiums are open to the crowd, and you're not going to be able to change all the tickets and do all that. So if a game has to be postponed and it can't be made up, the players – will lose full salary. But at the same time, the head of the Players Association said that there is not a mandate that the players have to get the shots. It's an invasion of their privacy, and they wanted to have them wear armbands if they didn't have it, wear the shield if they didn't have it, a lot of different suggestions. But there is no mandate. The players do not. And Washington came out today and said that more than 50% of their team has not had the virus shots.
Yeah, I heard that. Roy, you probably have heard a lot about this, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. And, it's really unfortunate that we're, back in a situation here where, we've got to start shutting down games and things. But, look, it's pretty simple. If you've gotten the vaccine, you're probably in pretty good shape. If you don't, people are getting it, and they're getting it much quicker, much easier, the virus, that is, and it's spreading much faster, and it's a little bit more dangerous than the first time around. It seems to be affecting people a lot more significantly than originally, and it's become a virus of the unvaccinated, and if you choose not to get vaccinated, you're gonna face the consequences, and so is the world around you. That's what it's come down to. And this is what I think people don't understand. I'm all about personal freedoms, and do what you want. I mean I never got a flu shot until this year, And it's not because I don't believe in vaccines. I just didn't feel the need for it. I seldom, if ever, got the flu. If I did, I'd fight it off. This is a little bit different. You pass this on to somebody, and you could unknowingly, be giving them a death sentence. It's that simple. And, who are we, who am I, who is anybody to, make that determination for somebody? And again, it's unfortunate, but I'm shocked that a Major League Baseball team at this point, going through what it's been through and what the league has been through and what Major League Sports has been through, I'm shocked that there's a Major League Baseball team out there that has 50% vaccinated personnel. That just makes no sense. It seems like the NFL is probably headed down the right path here. Again, I'm not about necessarily forcing people, but, I think you've got to figure out a way to, keep everybody else away from those, because it's just simple. If you're not vaccinated, you're going to get this thing. That's what the doctors are saying. If you're not vaccinated, you're going to get this. And if 50% of a baseball team is not vaccinated, well, guess what? That 50% is probably going to get this virus. And it's going to force a shutdown, and that's not good.
Two things I can't understand, Roy. Number one, we grew up vaccines. First, it was polio. One vaccine after you. We were never asked whether you could get it or not. It was mandatory from the doctor. If you want to go to school, you had to get the shots. You had to be prepared, no matter what the disease was. And I just like to fill people in. You not only worked in the National Football League and the National Hockey League and covered events for 25, 30 years, but you're also involved in the medical field. So we're not talking to somebody that doesn't know what the ramifications of something like this is. And I agree with you. How in the world could Major League Baseball now not have some type of edict saying you either get the shots or you can't be in the ballpark? I mean, I can't imagine what you can do.
Yeah, you know, and it's something that unfortunately we've become such a litigious world, you know, and so right now, if Major League Baseball says, you know, the each team has to have, you know, at least 75%, 80% vaccinations in order, you know, to, you know, for everybody to be safe and, you know, follow a certain set of rules, the Major League Baseball Players Association is going to turn around and say, you know, says who? You know, you've got to collectively bargain that. And if they don't agree, and you know, all they need is enough, you know, people to disagree with that stance, and it won't be voted in as a, you know, as a mandate. So, you know, it appears as though the NFL Players Association, you know, must have agreed with it, and you know, because you've got the NFL. Because if they didn't, obviously the NFL Players Association would be up in arms and screaming about. You know, these mandates that are out there in terms of, you know, how the players who aren't vaccinated are socially distant. So, and you know, we found out from the Buccaneers, and I'm sure it's somewhat similar with most teams, with the Buccaneers, inside the facility or inside, you know, anytime you're inside right now, the unvaccinated players have to wear some kind of yellow wristband or armband of some kind, and the vaccinated players wear red. So that you know who's vaccinated, who's not. And it's, I don't think it's about shaming. It's more about knowing who is and who isn't so that you can, you know, in essence, keep your distance. And one of the reasons for that is they have to – the teams have to monitor what these players are doing. If they you know, run afoul of the rules that have been laid down by the NFL regarding unvaccinated players and where they can go and where they can't go, they're going to be fined $14,000 flat out. That's the fine, $14,000 automatically, no questions asked, fine. And it's every time you're in violation. So, you know, there's quite a, you know, a list of rules that are significantly different for the players who aren't vaccinated regarding where they can go, who they can be with, mask wearing, the whole bit. And, I think the bottom line is it's designed to make life a little bit tougher on those guys, you know, or maybe that's how it's seen. It certainly does. But I think it's also, you know, kind of a way of coercing them into getting vaccinated because the league doesn't want to have problems. And much like Major League Baseball is having yet again. And it's, you know, let's face it, it's because half this team is not vaccinated. And they're bouncing around from city to city, and, you know, they're out late at night. You know, bars and clubs are open again. So, it's, you know, these guys are spreading the virus, they're getting the virus, they're having it spread to them, and they're creating a dangerous environment for their coworkers and teammates.
Roger, you mentioned the Phillies, yeah. And they're in that pursuit tonight.
Yeah, they are, Don. And, Roy, just a follow-up about baseball. The other day they were talking about if you're a level one person with a Major League Baseball team, now that would be the entire office staff from top to bottom, the coaching staff, the broadcasters, et cetera. They all have to be vaccinated. That's no ands, ifs, buts about it, or you're gone, okay? You'll lose your job. That and from what I've heard about, like, the Phillies are not at 50%, and a number of teams aren't. And it seems to be the leadership or lack of, and where you get the, like with the Eagles, they were saying about some of the Eagles players that would be real leaders, and they would, you know, set the pace. Now, I don't know whether they're vaccinated or not, but that seems to be what the key is. in baseball and I guess in athletics in general, professional sports, that it's the leadership, the locker room leadership that should be taking the lead. For instance, Aaron Nola has not been vaccinated. Okay? Mm. So he lost the start. And they've got to be able to start, even if they have to go to court, they've got to be able to start going after players financially, like the NFL or baseball is going to have a problem when it gets to the postseason, in my opinion.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
I think the thing is, too, Roger, that, you know, as I mentioned at the top, I mean, if you didn't have your diphtheria shot, if you didn't have your polio shot, if you didn't have this, that, and other, you couldn't go to school. You couldn't do any
you
of the things.
Still can't,
that,
Don. Yeah,
that's what
can.
I mean.
You're right.
So to me,
yeah.
to not be able to mandate that these people, and let's face it, Roy, on top of the virus, now you got Delta. So it's not just the virus. It's an offshoot of the virus that you got a doubleheader going against.
Right.
Yeah, and there's more variants to come, guys. This is the other thing that I think some people don't seem to want to understand is that, you know, there's been a couple of variants already. I think there's been five and maybe six, and this Delta variant is the most vicious of them all, and there's probably more to come. I mean, this virus is looking for people who are prone to get it. It's looking for the unvaccinated. It's looking for people who, you know, think they're smarter than the scientists or, you know, just immune to this thing, and it's going to get them. It's going to find them. And it's going to affect them in some way. It could be just, you know, a couple of days of, you know, feeling a little bit off. It could be a week or two of feeling like you got a bad cold, or it could be, you know, it could put you in the hospital, depending on who it is. And it really doesn't, you know, we're not seeing any real deep patterns with this thing right now in terms of who's affected. You know, it's not like the first round here where it was mostly compromised people with some kind of compromised immune system, you know, whether they had maybe asthma or something like that, that were getting it and struggling the most, people with, you know, other issues. But in this case, it's affecting just about everybody but young children. And the fear is that it's going to eventually, you know, mutate into something that does affect children. And that's when you're probably going to really see, you know, fireworks is when children start getting it. And look, you're not hearing doctors talk about it because they don't want to start a panic, but that's where this is headed. This virus is mutating. It's finding different ways to get into people and stay in people and affect people in a bad way. It's what viruses do. And if you don't cut off its access, you know, if you don't block its path, that's the only way to kill it. Is to block its path. It'll die out on its own if it's got nowhere else to go. But as long as it's got somewhere to go, it'll go and it'll mutate and it'll grow stronger and it'll grow different forms that will affect people who are not protected against it. And you're right, Don. It's your comments about diphtheria, smallpox, polio. I mean, yes, it was mandatory in order to go to school. We were living in a different world back then, you know, but, you know, the people who developed, you know, Jonas Salk, who developed the polio vaccine, you know, he's considered a hero, you know,
right.
From back in the day. The people who developed this vaccine are seen in some cases as villains and people looking to take away your freedoms and your rights, and which is silly. It's just silly.
Roy, I saw it tonight. I didn't see the whole newscast in New York, but I believe now, to give you an idea how crazy this is, they want to pay people $100 now to come in and get their shots. I mean, public service announcements on all the New York channels and all the Philadelphia channels during the games and all the news and all the other access, every single one of them is using 2 minutes, 1 minute to once again reinforce what the doctors are saying. Get these shots. But people just aren't paying any attention. Hey, we've covered it. I guess that's all we could do is talk about it. Is Tommy, I didn't hear Tommy at the top of the program. Tommy, are you at the Trop for this game tonight?
No, not at the Trop. No, I'm home for tonight.
Oh, okay. Big series there for both teams. Big series because, you know, the Rays want to move up on the Red Sox, and the Yankees want to get out of the doldrums. So, a good game last night, 4-3. Roy, maybe you'd like to touch on baseball a little bit as we get into the sports field.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, yes, obviously a big series for the Rays, but, you know, a couple days away from the trade deadline, and we're starting to see teams move. I'm a little surprised that we've seen the Yankees move a couple of the pieces from their bullpen at a time when they would seem to need more of those. But maybe they're trying to draw some pieces. There's a lot of talk about the Yankees trying to bring in Anthony Rizzo, because obviously it seems to be between the Yankees and Red Sox, perhaps, and the Anthony Rizzo sweepstakes. But I'm not sure either team really has the prospects to give back to the Cubs to make that deal work. But Yankees are trying to hold on here. You would think they'd have a good opportunity tonight against Michael Wacha, who really has not been effective for the Rays. So we'll see where that goes. Right now, no score. Mid early in the game, but the Yankees are—they're reaching a point here where it's really critical for them if they want to be in this race, get a wild card spot. I don't know if they can rally enough to win the East, but if they want to get in the wild card, they're going to have to start making their move right now.
Yeah, the Yankees just went out at the top of the third. It's nothing. Bottom of the third at the drop, so we'll see what happens there. Roger, we keep talking about the Braves. The Braves are going to make a move. The Braves have more talent than anybody else in the National League East. And every time I turn around, I think they've made a little move. They drop dead.
Same with the Phillies, Don. It's amazing. The Phillies the other night had a walk-off. I went to bed thinking the game was lost. I wake up in the morning and they won 6-5.
That's
last
correct.
Night they lose.
Opposite
they
field
lead
home
players.
Run.
Yeah, opposite by Andrew McCutchen. Yeah.
Right.
And the Braves, the same thing. It looks like they get on a roll and then they hit a brick wall. I mean, I don't get it. They've made some excellent moves, I think, with the roster. But, just have to wait and see. And I'm concerned with the Mets. I think the Mets are going to spend a lot of money in the next 48 hours, and I would be surprised if they don't take charge in the NL East.
Well, they made a good point about Rizzo a little bit ago, Roy, because I know you're a big Cub man. You followed him for all your life. And the Yankees have basically no really left-handed hitting at all. It's all right-handed hitting club. I mean, Gardner's at the end of the line. He said he won 193. Wade is they don't really have any dominant left-handed hitter, and they need left-handed hitting desperately to do anything. What do you two clubs that are being talked about most? Bryant with the Cubs. You think he's going to go, and do you think Rizzo will go? I'm not so sure about Rizzo.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, what I'm hearing is that, and reading more than anything, is that the situation with both players, in fact, a lot of position players, is that even A-level players like Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, are right now the best they're getting in return, teams are offering in return, are B-level players. Nobody's getting, top prospects, it seems.
Right.
And I think that could really derail this whole effort by teams like the Cubs and some others to get rid of, top-level players that they think they're going to lose in free agency and try to get something back for them before they lose them all together, which is quite possible in the offseason. Now, look, there have also been talks, at least between the Cubs and Rizzo and Cubs and Javier Baez, about contract extensions. Those talks have been they haven't been fast and furious, but they are ongoing. They are having the conversations. And I think if they can't get a deal done, obviously they probably ramp those up a little bit. But with Chris Bryant, I mean, he's made it very clear through his agent, Scott Boras, that he's going to be a free agent next year. He will test free agency. But I still think that between the Padres and Dodgers, there's probably a buyer for Chris Bryant. And there may be another team out there as well. There probably is. There's probably another team out there that would take a chance on Chris Bryant. I mean, there's been talk about the Mets. You know, Roger, you just mentioned it. They could put him at third, move J.D. Davis out. You could put him in left field. You could do a couple of things with Chris Bryant because he's played all over the outfield. He's played first base, played third base, can become like a super utility guy with an A-level bat. So a lot could be done there. But I still think Chris Bryant's going to go. But, again, unless somebody like the Yankees or Red Sox can really come up with the pieces, it may take a three-team deal to get Rizzo to New York or Boston, but we'll see what happens here going forward. But it's going to be interesting. Pitchers are going to be had. You're going to see pitchers move, starting pitchers in particular. Max Scherzer probably going to go out west as well. But some of these position players, that may not be the case with them.
Tommy, your bailiwick is the Rays. You're right there. You work with the Lightning as well as the Rays, and they made a quick move early. They jumped the gun a little bit and picked up a player. What's the story with the Rays, Tommy?
I think right now just picked up the key bat in that lineup, everybody. Just Cruz in that lineup right now. Power, he can get you 35 home runs, 100 RBIs, and he can do that. But my main grief is, why in the hell did the Cleveland change the name for the Indians? The tradition since 1950. So the Guardians? Oh, come on. Give me a break, for God's sake. I mean, that's gone too far. Because if you look at the Indians media guide, guys, the Indians were named after chief an Indian chief on Cleveland, on Lake Erie. And that was an honor for him to name that. But I looked at that logo, Guardians, but fans, if anything has the old Chief Wahoo on there, save it. It's going to be worth a lot of money down the road, guys. I mean, spend time in Cleveland. I'm embarrassed to even watch that.
I got to say thank you very much. Brian Bradley is waiting in the wings to chat a little bit about the Lightning, not only winning the Stanley Cup, but also the moves that have been made already, the moves that are about to be made, and how the draft looks. So, Roy, thank you very, very much, and nice to be back together with you after a three-week vacation, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it as always.
Before he gets finished. Okay, Roy, I just wanted to give you on this Phillies Washington situation. 12 players tested positive for the and I think it's 11 of them had the vaccine. And so it's amazing how some are testing positive, and yet they've had the vaccine and they have no symptoms. So it's crazy. You're exactly right.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and I'll leave you with this, guys, is even though you've had the vaccine, you can still get this variant, but you just won't have any symptoms. You won't feel sick. But the fear is you can pass it on to people who don't have the vaccine. So really, at this point, it comes down to this. If you don't want to get sick, you get a vaccine. If you want to get sick, take your chances.
Take care, Roy. Have a great week.
Thanks, Roy.
Roy. Thank you once again.
Roy.
And Brian, let's bring you in right now. And first of all, talk a little bit about we haven't had a chance. We've been on vacation the last couple of weeks just to pass along our congratulations on the Stanley Cup championship and what Coop was able to do with that club and a couple of the moves that he's made since. A couple have surprised me. Give me your impression of what the Lightning have done so far.
Well, you know what, guys? Tommy's there, Frank. You know what? They knew going into the season that it was going to be a different roster coming in next year. So,
right.
I mean, let's
mm-hmm.
just talk about the team. I mean, to go back-to-back and win the back-to-back what they did last year was just amazing. I mean, you know what? In front of their family, friends, and the fans.
Yep.
I mean, it was a special team, all the records, Vasilevsky in goal with 5 shutouts in back-to-back games. And, they hadn't lost back-to-back games in like 13 games or over 2 years. I mean, their record from 2015 to now is the best. I mean, they're going to go down as one of the best teams in NHL history. Only 3 teams have ever won back-to-back, I think. And, The Lightning are right down with some of the best teams ever play. I mean, this team was very special, and they played hard. But they knew going into this next season that they would lose guys. Like Tyler Johnson left, Barkley Gaudreau's gone, Yanni Gord got picked up by Seattle. You know, Coleman got picked up by Calgary today. So, I mean, you know what? That's part of the game. I mean, you know, but they won two Stanley Cups. So those guys delivered. They played great. And you know what? We wish them all the best.
That's all you can do, Brian. That's all they can do, Brian. Congratulations on that cup. And did you tell the fans out there we had to vote parade?
Yeah. Yeah, I was at the vote parade. That was awesome. I had a great time. Because last year it was just for the players. And this year they had management and you know, like the players, management, the staff. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, you know what? So it was a spectacular time. But I think the most real great, like, I mean, when you look at the playoffs when they beat Florida, that was a great series, you guys.
Yeah.
They beat them four games to two. But I'll tell you, I was at the game in Florida, the first game they played there, and they won 5-4, I think, and Braden Point scored the winning goal. That was unbelievable game. Physical, tough, fast, scoring, power plays, Kucherov's first game back. I mean, it was just, honestly, it's one of the best playoff games I've seen in 5 years. And then they played Carolina, and you know what? Carolina was tough, but you know what? We beat them 4-1, but I was in Carolina and in Tampa, too, but we were just a better team. Carolina had some injuries. But the Islanders series was tough again. I mean, you know what? We were battle-tested going into that one. And, you know, to win Game 7 against the Islanders, I was in New York when they beat us in game 5, I think, up there. No, game 4. No, Game 6. But, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the fans were going crazy. They, you know, they want the cup, but then we came back and won. But, you know, Montreal just got – they ran into a juggernaut. And let's be honest with you. If I had to talk about all the three series or four series we played, Florida, Carolina, the New York Islanders, and Montreal, Montreal was our weakest opponent.
Exactly.
Me by far.
Mm-hmm.
No,
how about
the move they made
making a trade with the Rangers? Did that surprise you a little bit? And did the player that went over surprise you as well?
Who was the trade for?
A couple of draft choices.
With the New York?
With New York, a couple of draft choices.
And who did we get or who did we give away? Because there's so many trades that happened today.
Barkley, I think.
Barkley Gaudreau for the Rangers? Oh, he just signed like a $23 million deal. He was a free agent, you guys.
Right.
I mean, you know, good for him. You know, he's a veteran guy. He won 2 Stanley Cups, came from San Jose Sharks. And you know what? He's going after money now. We can't afford them. And same as Coleman. He signed a $4.8 million or $4.9 million, 4, 5, 6 year deal in Calgary. I mean, we couldn't pay those guys that money. We don't have the money in Tampa. But you know what? And then it's the same as Yanni Gord. Yanni Gord makes $5 million. And you know what? We love Yanni. I mean, he's the guy that hurts the most because he was so good. He's a competitor.
Yes,
and he plays great every game. He just gives it everything he's got. I love Yanni Gord, the way he plays. But at the end of the day, we couldn't keep him. So, you know what? They had to make some decisions. And same as, you know, Tyler Johnson, who had a really good playoffs on the fourth line, you know, with Maroon and Ross Colton. But, you know, we couldn't keep him. So he went to Chicago, and we got, you know, Brent Seabrook. But it was just a money flip. So he's going to be, you know, he's not even going to play here. He's just going to be, you know, bought out, like, you know, more or less like Kucherov. He's going to be like, you know, like he's not going to play, so they're just going to have his contract, you know, it's going to be paid through insurance.
Roger, Brian, this is Roger, and I just getting back to what you were saying about, and that's so true, about how many teams have ever won back-to-back Stanley Cups. Well, all of us are from Philadelphia, so we remember very well the 73, 74, 75, 76 Philadelphia Flyers. And I think that talk about that because, you know hockey. How about comparing the Lightning to those teams in any way? Do you see any similarities?
Well, you know what? I will say this. You know what? The Lightning team of the last 2 years could go down as some of the best teams to ever play. I mean, honestly, guys, I mean, when you're looking at – let's just look at their forwards, for instance. I mean, their top two lines with, you know, Braden Point, you know, Platt and Kucherov, unbelievable. I mean, Point and Kucherov are crazy. And Point just signed for $9.5 million for, like, 6 years or 7 years for $76 million. But he's worth every penny, that kid. He's a great player. He's humble and kind. And you know what? Then the second line was Stamkos, Kloren. I love Kloren and Cirelli. He's a great player. I mean, Stamkos, you know what? He's getting the end of his career right now. But then, you know, the third line we had this year with, you know, Yanni Gord, Coleman, and Barkley Gaudreau, probably the best third line in hockey, maybe ever. Maybe ever. I mean, you're talking about Mad Dog Kelly and guys like that back in the day that just skated around. I think that line could be the best third line ever to play in the NHL. And in our fourth line with Tyler Johnson and, you know, Patty Maroon and Ross Colton, who scored the game-winning goal in game five. I mean, the only two guys that weren't on the Stanley Cup last year was assisted in the goal was Mark Savard and Ross Colton scored the goal. Those two guys set up. One guy passed, the other guy scored it. The only two guys that weren't on the team last year were involved in the winning goal to win the cup. That's crazy. But those guys, those four forward lines are as good as any forward lines. Maybe, you know, I mean, I'm talking about Gretzky, but overall, they were amazing, those four forward lines. And then you got the defense. The defense, to me, is probably one of the best defense to ever play. I don't care what anybody says. They're big. They're all 6'2", 6'3". They're fast. They're physical. They make plays. They pass the puck tape to tape. I mean, you know what? Hedman's amazing. He was injured he had a torn meniscus. He's getting a repair, and he'll be back. But, Ryan McDonough, to me, was unbelievable, plus 18 or 19 in the playoffs. I thought he was the best defenseman in the playoffs by far. Nothing against the Hedman. And then you got Sergachev, Chernak, Savard, and then you got Ruda. I mean, they're all big. They're all make physical. And then, you know, Shen was amazing. And then, you know what? You got the last piece of the puzzle. And nothing against anybody else, but Vasi could be the best goalie maybe ever to play this game. You know, if he keeps winning the way he's doing, you're talking about, I mean, hey, I know Bernie Parent was a great goalie. He won a couple cups. You know, Patrick Roy is up there. You know, Marty Brodeur, Dominic Hasek. But this kid is amazing. He's only 26 years old.
Cool boy.
I mean, he's young for a goalie. So, like,
and also with the news today, you can talk about Fury. He was decided to move him, but yet he's going to make a personal decision as to whether he wants to continue playing or not. And other news was that Lou Lamoriello with the Islanders, who gave, you know, the Lightning pretty much all they could handle. That was one of the best series of the group. And supposedly they have $17.6 million to spare going into the free agent market. So how does the Lightning stand financially looking at the free agent market? How much space do they have in a cap?
Well, they were over last year, obviously. We all know with Kucherov. But, you know, I think they're getting closer down to that $81 million now. But, you know, here's the thing about it is Tommy and everybody there, Frank, there's going to be guys that sign here, like Belmore signed here, Zach Bogosian signed here. I mean, you know, Luke Shen signed in Vancouver. But, you know what, at the end of the day, you're going to get some veteran guys come here and play, like Bogosian and Belmore, where, you know what, they're, like, looking at their thing. Don't be surprised if a guy like Zach Parise, you know, and I'm just throwing names out there, high-end guys that just got bought out of contracts for $40, $50 million. And, you know, they don't need the money, guys. They just made $100 million in their last 10 years, so they don't care. Money doesn't mean anything. So they're sitting there looking at teams going, like, to their agent. And if I'm a guy like them, I'm saying, look, money doesn't mean anything to me. I want to win a Stanley Cup. That's all I want to do. I want to win a Stanley Cup. So where am I going to go play to do this? I'm not going to Phoenix. They're not winning. Vancouver, no. You know, like Columbus, no. Calgary, no. So what teams have really got a chance to win? Tampa, but they're under a cap crunch. So, like, you know what? I made $89 million in my last 6 years. So, you know what? I'll talk to my agent, and let's call Julian Breezeball, Zach Breezy. I'll play on the third line for $750,000.
That's right. They want the cup.
Why not?
I don't disagree with you. Brian Bradley is our special guest, and talking to Brian about the Lightning. He's with the Lightning and trying to check in on a number of things. Tommy, you're up next. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Brian, I think that was a great series to win the series at home, and it was great to see that. But I'll take that 2004 Vladislav Panenko two goals in Game 7 versus Calgary over that game was just played because, you know, we were because Andy won his first cup, and thanks to Daryl Sedor, Tim Taylor, I mean Chris Segre, you go on and on with those guys, Nikolai, you know, Hobby Boone, the Berlin Wall was great too, but you got to give one person credit for this year's Stanley Cup, Coach John Cooper.
Yeah.
Puts the puck together, the machine runs great. He shuffled those guys in and out. He should have got Coach of the Year. Bazzi should have got he should have got that Vezina Trophy. What in the hell is Marc-Andre Fleury did in the regular season? When he did in the playoffs, he bowed out. Look what Bazzi did. He won game standing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Tommy. I mean, you know what? The 2014 first question was, that was a great team. I mean, you know what? It's hard to really compare. I mean, you know, I think last year's team maybe wasn't as good, but I think this year's team was better than the old four teams. Yeah. They just had more depth. They had more everything. Their defense was better. I think the goaltending was better. And they had maybe more skilled up front over four lines. This was one of the best teams ever in Tampa Bay Lightning history, this 2021 team that won the Cup. There was no one even that was in the same boat
the Lightning
as them.
Picked
they
up
were just
a,
that
a
good.
Real, I just want to say the Lightning picked up a tremendous addition in Brian Elliott as a backup goalie.
Yeah, the goalie.
900,000, Brian. And here the Flyers they needed to get a new one. They got Martin Jones, and it cost them $2 million. So I would say that the Lightning got a steal.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Yeah, that's a great trade with Brian Elliott. You know, he played in Philadelphia. You know, he was originally drafted, I think, by Ottawa. But, you know, he's been around. And you know what, the guy, he's played in two All-Star games, Brian Elliott. You know,
right.
I mean, I know he's from there. He's played over 500 games in the NHL, been in a couple All-Star games, and, you know, had a really good career in St. Louis, originally drafted, I think, in Ottawa. But, I mean, you know, a good pickup because, you know what, when you look at what's going to happen next year, Elliott's going to come in here and he's going to be a backup to Bazzi. We all know that. But at the end of the day, he'll play 25 games. But, you know what, it's a good addition for us because, you know what, I mean, we're signing these guys right now. They're all assigned for $700,000-$900,000, which is that's all we can afford right now. We have to stay in the cap. So, you know, getting rid of Yanni Gord, getting rid of Tyler Johnson, we just unloaded like $10 or $12 million. So, I mean, you know, we have to keep it right in that thing. So, we're doing a good job. We're upgrading, but we're adding guys. Zach Bogosia, I love Zach Bogosia. I mean, I wish he was here last year for us. But, you know, he played in Toronto for a year and decided to come back here and sign a 3-year deal. Good for him. Great place to play. And he's going to be a good addition to the team in our top six.
Brian, one of the things I'd like you to address before we run out of time, we've talked now for the better part of 10 years about the administrative decisions that the Rays have made to keep competitive and get to the World Series. They haven't won it all, but they're competitive every single year. The Lightning have basically done the same thing. I mean, they have administratively, even though they lose people, they still have the organization still stays strong. Talk a little bit about that.
You know what? I think just the Rays, it just comes down to, you know what, the Rays are a great organization. They're well, they have great scouts and a great manager there. But at the end of the day, it just seems like whenever their guys get to the next level, they just, you know, I mean, in baseball, it's so hard because, you know what, guys, you know, in hockey, it's an $81 million cap, you know, and you have to be at 60. In baseball, you have teams that are like, it'd be like in hockey if there was no cap and teams were at $120 million and the Lightning were at 60. You're not going to beat the teams at $120 million. You're not. They're just too good.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, the Rays are going against the Yankees and the Red Sox. What are their salary caps right now? Like, how much money do they have? $250 million to the Rays 70 or 60?
Well, ESPN say right now that the Yankees are about to finalize a deal with Gallo. It should be announced maybe before the game's over tonight. So Cashman's starting to make some moves. But I was talking more from a general manager standpoint and an ownership standpoint. How well the Lightning have been able to take one transition to another transition to another one to put this team together, as you indicated, that may be the best of all time to win two in a row. And the Rays have done basically the same thing. They haven't won it all like the Lightning did, but they've been able to maintain, even though they lose their general manager, he goes to the Dodgers. They lose their general manager, he goes, but they continued from an administrative standpoint to put teams together.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But at the end of the day, it's hard to compete with the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Dodgers when they're throwing money around, which the Rays don't have the money to throw around.
Oh, no question.
I mean, that's why
it doesn't make
sense. I mean, I feel bad for the Rays because, you know what, they have such a good team, and, you know, they need to just add a couple pieces to the puzzle, but that might mean signing a guy for $10 or $15 million, and sometimes they don't want to do that. And at the end of the day, you know, it always is the same thing. The Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and then there's always a team that maybe slides in there once in a while. But hockey's different. I mean, they have a cap. There's a hard cap and a soft cap, and you live by the rules. I mean, there's no teams that are at $65 million in hockey and other teams at $140 million. It just doesn't work.
No. Brian, and I'll tell you, that's one of the things about the NFL where you can have a down team one year and it can be up there the next year because of the sharing, okay? And I think that a down – and well, there's probably more sharing in the NHL than there is, definitely in baseball. But I think baseball's salvation is going to have to change where it's spread out more. I mean, you know, with the smaller markets.
Yeah, it has to.
Go ahead.
I mean, that's what happened in hockey. I mean, yeah, it happened in hockey back in the 90s when I played. I mean, when we came down here our first year in Tampa, our first few years, we were at $25 million salaries. That was our salaries. And just like the Rays, we were playing against Detroit, Toronto, Boston, maybe Montreal, where Detroit – they had salaries at $90 million back in the 90s with Yzerman, Fedorov, Mike Vernon, Shanahan, Paul Coffey, Dino Cicerelli. How are we going to play against those guys when their salaries are at $90 million and we're at 25? I mean, their third line's as good as our first. It's not fair. And that's what we all realize in hockey. You got to keep it equal for the fans. It's not fair. I mean, you know what, if you're going to throw all-star teams together like basketball is doing, like Brooklyn Nets, I mean, how do you beat those guys when they have like three superstars on their team? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, they got injured this year, but let's be realistic. If they didn't have the injuries, Milwaukee would have never won the NBA. They had guy. They had Durant. The other two guys were hurt. You know, James Harden and Kyrie Irving never even played in the final series. If those guys played, they never would have beat Brooklyn. Never. I would have put any money on that one.
Brian, if Ben Simmons had dunked the ball, they may never have won either. No, the Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Sixers would have won.
But when you have guys that are making $40 million and there's no cap on guys like that, you can't beat those guys. Like if LeBron goes to those places, how do you win?
I don't think there was any beating that freaky Greek this year, right? He just had a fantastic series.
He was absolutely great.
Every single game, he was really the catalyst. In fact, in the final game, I think he scored, I'm not sure exact number, but I think he scored more than half the points of the total of the whole team.
Yeah, he's an amazing player.
He was just incredible.
Giannis, the guy on, you know, but like, I will tell you this, if I will say it again, that Milwaukee would have never beat Brooklyn with the three guys in their lineup. Even if they would have had two, it was over. They weren't even close to Brooklyn
right.
in terms of, like,
right.
if James Harden was healthy, and Kyrie Irving and Durant, they would have never beat them. They would have lost 4-1. I'd put money on that one. I mean,
I agree. I think
they
were a better team.
I'm not one that
believes in putting superstars together. Yankees thought they had
yeah.
a bunch of superstars too. Look where they are. You may be right. They may have won it in, you know, 5 games or whatever, but I'm not so sure. They didn't win all. You know, unfortunately, they didn't have a. I think they played what 11 games where they all played together out of the whole bunch.
Yeah, I know.
So
exactly.
we really can't prove it one way or the other. But look what Durant did with the Olympic team. He's had a tough time beating anybody. So, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well,
Brian had told me you have to catch an early plane and get out early. So Frank just said, I want to say thank you very, very much for joining us.
Yeah, we appreciate you being with us, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And we'll catch you. We'll catch
you
during the off season, and we'll catch you during the draft. And we'll catch you during the free agents so you can fill us all in on the best of the best. Thank you very much, Brian.
You betcha.
Thanks,
have a great
Brian.
Night, guys.
Thank
Go
you, Brian.
Bulls.
You too.
That's
right. Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Brian.
Bye.
I'll tell you what, Don, a lot going on in the NHL with free agency right now, let me tell you.
Yep. Sonny Hill didn't answer his phone, but we have a caller here. Caller, you want to go ahead and talk?
Hi, this is Sharon. Most of you know me as Frank.
Hi, Sharon.
I just want to say thank you for allowing the show to be dedicated to my sister. I'm going to get upset. I won't be on long. I just wanted to say, if any of you are betting people, put your money on the Jets for the Super Bowl. Just as Bobby Bugs died long enough for the Eagles to finally win, my sister is a fanatical Jets fan. And this is the real news bulletin. Joe Namath is coming out of retirement to quarterback the winning team because that was her, that was her quarterback. Joe Namath.
You're our pronosticator, but hey, thank you so much for Frank
that.
Made the dedication at the top of the show and so well deserved. And as we follow, not only do we follow Frank and his youngsters and his grandchildren, we follow the family. And Frank is a part of everybody's family that it has been associated with this program since the very outset. So I just thank you so much for your contribution. It's always nice when
you
join us.
Thank you,
and
Sharon.
Also, I know you all know what a person Frank is, but I would not have gotten through last week if it wasn't for him. Okay.
Well, you know what they say, Sharon, behind every successful man, there's a great woman. There you are.
And I agree. I agree 100%.
Jesus Christ. Don't wind her up, Roger.
Thank you again. Really
Roger.
Appreciate it. I know Kathy does, too.
it's always a difficult time. It's not just a difficult time that day or the next day. It's a difficult time for time to come. And we've all gone through it at different stages, different parts of our families. And it's not something you just get over real quickly. And you like to have the support of people around you. And I think that's what Frank has always gotten, because I have so much admiration for Frank and for his family that, you're going to get all the support you need.
Okay. And I get it from my grandsons, my children. Yes, really do.
Absolutely.
And also her children.
And you
before,
give it to them.
Off.
You know, look at – great family you have. And, you know, Don's right. Don and I lost our first wives within, what Don, 5 months of each other.
Oh, my God.
97.
Yep. Yeah, cancer. We've seen cancer firsthand. And every time I get one of the cards or notes about, supporting the Cancer Fund at St. Jude's Hospital especially, I can't wait to do it. And,
right.
I've done it for years, and I know, Frank, you probably have too, and Roger, he also has done exactly the same thing through all kinds of different donations. But, hey, it all helps. We're trying to support the people that supported us for so many years.
Hey, guys,
so again,
before she gets off,
let you get back to your show.
Wait a minute, for real.
What?
Wait, guys, before she gets off, can I get a joint thing, joint hurrah for her? Because she's going to have to do my back for all the shit I did the last 2 weeks here. So I'm going to get a...
You got
right.
the best hurrah in the world for me.
Anybody can help do his back.
Hurrah!
Yeah, call Frank in about a month and see if I ever followed through.
All right. I love that.
we'll make you happy to tell you the Rays just scored a run. They got two outs in in the inning, and they've run around third,
you,
but got to run home to take a 1-0 lead.
Well, you get back
to yeah, the Mets
again,
are up over the Braves 1-0 too.
Nice.
God bless,
well,
Sharon.
I'm sorry you haven't hit my team, the Phillies, yet. So.
Hey, oh, listen, I'm sure it's
Eagles.
The same as ours.
Okay, well, take it easy. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
You're
God
more
bless.
Than welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Roger,
bye-bye
I didn't get all the details on the – I haven't had shit put on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I've been watching the Yankee game. You said 11 players were affected. Now, were they all on the Phillies or were they
a
combination?
Washington. All Washington.
Washington's had a tough time between football and baseball. They're having a hell of a time with the COVID.
Well, yeah, you're right. And I'll tell you what, Ron Rivera and probably Frank and Tommy, you saw the same thing, and the four of us. Ron Rivera, when he found this out, that they, not even 50%, he went ballistic, I understand. And my question is, and this is for all of you, I don't understand how a head coach in the National Football League would only find out the first day of camp that 50 players are not, or 50% are not vaccinated. Why wouldn't you be tracking this, okay, throughout the off season? I don't get it. I mean, you know, is it against the CBA? I don't think so. You know, to find out, you know, how are you doing? I mean, I know they're not allowed to talk, but there's other ways to get around it. But it was like a real surprise, and he was really ticked off. But that's what it was, Don. It was, I think it was 12 and 11 of them had the vaccine, but then they showed symptoms, and that's why they postponed the game till tomorrow.
Yeah, they have that secondary symptom where you have to wait and follow up with the tests and all.
Right.
I don't know. We talked about it so much the first half hour, and common sense just doesn't dictate. I mean, hell in the world could anybody, rationally thinking person, think, and especially if you're in a team situation, don't you want to protect the other players on your team?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Less than 50%, and you're going to go to training camp today? And you're going to be on the field with in close contact with your team, your teammates, and you're the chance of giving them the virus? I mean, it doesn't seem possible to me.
I'm with you. What Frank and Tommy, what do you think?
Well, let me ask you this. If you're a roommate of someone who comes down with it, where's the liability? Now we have a moral liability, and we have a financial liability. If I can't play because I got it from you, there's going to be problems. And, you know,
I agree.
It doesn't just stay with those 12. It goes from there on down.
Right. All the way down the throughout the roster.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. Tommy?
No.
Yes, sir. Well, I think about that, everybody, professional sports knows what they went through last year. Why don't you prepare yourself, get the shots, the vaccine, to have a perfect record? But, you know, Don and everybody in baseball, you know, these players are, you know, they have to leave the clubhouse. They're free people. They can do whatever they want to get to the ballpark at a certain time. But I think in baseball, there should be some kind of restriction for these players. Just go back to the hotel room. And do nothing, get ready for the game. But no, they want to meet friends, they want to partied up, they won this and that, and that's totally wrong. It's totally wrong with they, you know, with these.
Well, I agree. I'll tell you what I did hear on the NFL is that if they have not been vaccinated, they have to come in at 6:30 in the morning, an hour early, you know, to be checked out and everything. And I can tell you from the vaccine, I had the Moderna, Rita had the Moderna, we all did, and no repercussions, no reaction at all. I will say that my daughter, who's 41, had the Johnson & Johnson, and she had a real reaction to it. She had trouble getting up steps for 1 or 2 days. And, of course, my son and his family had it, except for my granddaughter, had the virus. And it really took its toll. But then he got, and I guess they all did, the kids are too young. But he and his wife got the vaccination. Now, my oldest daughter, who's 51, she has told me that she is not getting the vaccination. But she and her husband are no longer on the road in the trucking business. And they live in Sarasota because God knows where they live. And she just said that she always had a reaction to the flu vaccine. So, you know, I disagree. And I think that if that's the way it is, because, you know, I don't live with her. And she's 51 years old. I mean, you're going to make that decision. That's up to you. I disagree with it, but that's it.
Yep, they got to make their own decisions. And we mentioned Sonny Hill was going to join us, but he couldn't this evening. So we're going to jump ahead. Mike Simczak is ready to go. And, Mike, boy, you're the hottest number in town right now because soccer's all over the world going on big time. The Washington baseball team, the Nationals, they're all, well, Roger and I have talked about this for 5 years, their all-time super pitcher's gone now for not only this year, but who knows when he's ever coming back. And they also have a pitcher that people think they were going to trade, but he's got a 5-10 clause, so I don't know that they can trade him. But let's get to your information because you're right on top of it.
Well, gentlemen, I would normally start with a pithy comment, but it's been so long since I talked to you, I'm just going to say hello, and it is nice to talk to you again.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome sir. Back is right.
Yeah, where's the theme song from Welcome Back, Cotter? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Right, right.
Good song.
How are you all doing? I hope that you guys enjoyed a nice fourth and a good break. Thoughts and prayers go out to Frank and his family on the passing of his sister-in-law. But, yes, where do you want me to start with this whole entire thing that we talk Washington sports and soccer?
Well, let's start with the Nationals first because, you know, Scherzer has been talked about, but he's a 5-10. Strasburg, he doesn't do anything except get operated on. And they gave him an unbelievable contract. So what is the feeling in Washington?
I want to be Stephen Strasburg when I grow up. To be able to be in the major leagues for that long, produce for one season, get all that guaranteed money, and then basically be on the shelf for the next two seasons. I want to know what is going through the heads of the Washington Nationals brain trust, because it was clear before last season that they made a decision to keep Strasburg after the World Series and let Anthony Rendon go. Now you signed him to Strasburg to his mega contract. He was on the shelf all last year, missed the whole entire season. This year, same thing. But then even prior to that, he'd never really been able to stay healthy. This is a guy that they drafted at the top thinking he was going to come in and change the game. And in his entire, 9-10 year major league career, I think he's played two full seasons. You know,
Mike, let me ask you this. I know it's a neck injury. I know it's going to be an operation. What exactly is wrong with his neck? What is the operation?
All I've heard is that it's a nerve impingement of some sort. But when it comes to Steven Strasburg and being on the shelf, if he came back next year and missed the whole entire season because he had colic, I would not be surprised.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, you're exactly right. Don and I talked about this when Strasburg first came up, and they were putting him in the Hall of Fame before he really pitched one batter. And, I mean, it just goes to show you how you cannot predict anything like that. I mean, it's
Rogers,
stupid to
the same
predict.
Thing we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets. The same thing. They were going to go to the World Series. They had the NBA championship all wrapped up. What happened? Same thing.
Well, you're right. And how about the Eagles a few years ago with the Dream Team? Okay, the Dream Team. You know, and they fell flat on their faces.
Go ahead, Mike.
Roger,
I agree with you. I think, like, everybody had anointed Steven Strasburg when he came out of San Diego State. You know, he was throwing 103-mile-an-hour fastball with consistency. He had 86-mile-an-hour changeup and a devastating curve. He was, I think that what everybody expected was he was going to have the career because he had the stuff that Justin Verlander had. And we were looking at him expecting him to be what Justin Verlander has been. But the difference is Verlander has been pretty durable throughout his career. Strasburg has not. And outside of the World Series MVP season, he really just has not put together a full season. But when it comes to pitching, potential talks, and they're willing to put up with this because when he is there, he can be a game winner. But he's getting to the point where I'm almost thinking that he's going to go over the Mendoza line where he's going to have this more games than he's actually played.
Right.
How about Scherzer?
You know, the Nats came out earlier this week through rumors and innuendo and basically said everybody on the team except Juan Soto is available. Scherzer does have the 10-5 rights, and it seems like he would be willing to accept the trade to a West Coast team that was able to give him an extension. So what we do know is he'd be willing to go to West Coast. What we also know is he does not want to go to New York. We know also that the Nats are very reluctant to trade him to anybody in the division. So the most likely destination that I can come up with right now is San Francisco. They have the pieces in the farm system, and leading the NL West right now, they're the most likely destination. They're also the only team out there that can afford him without incurring a luxury tax penalty. The Dodgers would be massively interested, considering what's going on with Trevor Bauer, and that's a completely different story for another day.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure that they have the pieces to give the Nats to get him, because let's be honest, trying that, even with the trade and even with their desire and his desire to move on, it's going to cost a little bit to get him. He would be very interesting with the Padres, but I'm not 100% sure what they have to give to get in the trade. But it looks like NL West is the most likely destination. The AL West, possibly the Angels. I just don't see where any of the other teams, maybe the Rangers, but that's not really West Coast enough for him. I don't see the Athletics or the Mariners being in that market. But so most likely we're looking at a market for Scherzer that's the Angels, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants.
Roger?
Yeah, that makes sense, Mike. I mean, and I think the tax situation is the key there. I really do. The luxury tax. And I just saw that there was a on the screen about that the deal is being finalized as we speak for Scherzer. Have you heard or seen anything more recent than I just didn't pick it up on the Braves game on the scroll at the bottom, but it did say that
the deal is being finalized.
If you're
seeing that at the bottom of the scroll right now, it is highly possible. What I'm telling you is the information that I had as of 3 p.m. this afternoon.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's 5 hours old. But they said that trade market was going to be moved very, very fast. It's possible. What we know is he's looking for an extension. So any team that finds him, if they can negotiate a extension for him, then that's where he's going to go. And he said that he would prefer to go west. The only thing that we know for sure, he doesn't want to go to New York. And I don't know where Boston fits into that.
Mike, before I jump over to Tommy, let's jump over to the big story as we talked about in the first couple of hours of the show. What's happening with the Washington Football Club? The head coach seems to be a little bit disturbed about the way the team's coming into camp with less than 50% people being vaccinated. Roger brought up a very key point in the last 15 minutes, and that was, how can they not know that less than 50% of the people are not vaccinated until they get to camp? There's no way they can follow up, find out whether they've been vaccinated or not?
Well, I think that they've been in touch and said, like, all right, you know, just like any employer would, have you been vaccinated? Have you not? If you're on a J&J, have you received your vaccination? When did you receive it? If you're doing Moderna or Pfizer, you know, when did you get your first shot? When are you scheduled? And they know. Rivera, you're right, was very, very vocal yesterday with his displeasure at the rate of vaccination amongst his team. And he came out and said, like, I'm immunocompromised. I need to wear a mask. Remember, he had cancer last year. He was going through chemotherapy throughout most of the first season. You know, and saying, like, you know, come on, guys, let's do this. And they are one of the teams, I believe, that's under 50%. And now, to put it in perspective, the vaccination average in this area, you know, between D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, in the northern part of Virginia, is a high 50s, low 60%. So if they're coming in under 50, they're significantly under what the area average is. You know, without getting into the politics of vaccines and things like that and allowing, you know, people to make decisions and stuff, it is curious that, you know, they're in this situation. And now that they know what the penalties are, you know, that's something that Rivera and the coaching staff is. And I think that what he did yesterday was very much firing a shot across the bow of his team, letting them know, like, he expects more of them. It's not the first time that he has come out and given his players some news, be it in private or public, that they may not want to hear. Like, at the beginning of last year, there were a lot of players on the defense who were like, we don't like how we're being coached up. And he said, look, it's my way or the highway. Y'all were 2-14 a year before I got here. If you want to suck, do it your way. If you want to win, do it my way. And I think he's saying the same thing. And he's in charge. You know, as far as football operations go in Washington, D.C., for the Washington football team, it's Ron Rivera or nothing. So I would say, like, how big a fight do you guys want to put? Do you want to put up? And it's interesting. Now, I would like to see, you know, and we will never know who the players are who have not, because, you know, if –
Well, they'll know in the clubhouse because they've got some special procedures, as Roger indicated. They have to come in an hour earlier. They have to wear these shields. They have to have – they were thinking about putting bracelets on for those that were, those that weren't. But Tommy,
yeah,
you're up. We haven't heard from you, so get your roar to order.
There we go.
But I also think right now, like, we know most NFL teams are carrying, like, 90 players, right? What are the chances that – and I think it's going to come in. Like, when you get down to those last couple of cuts, it may not be about what your performance on the field is, but it may be about are you vaccinated or not? Because if you're vaccinated, you're available. If you're not, I don't know. So where I don't think, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if he's not vaccinated, he's scheduled to be the starter. I don't think they're going to cut him. But Mr. 55th man on the roster, if you don't, Ron Rivera's made it clear, like, if you're not, your tenure with this team may be short. And I wonder if there are other coaches in the NFL who are saying to players very similar things. Like, you are, if you're on the bubble, your vaccination status may come into this, and you need to make a decision accordingly.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this, and Don and Tommy and Frank, I don't know the answer. When I got the vaccination, it was back in February, and then you wait a month, and it was in March. Because I think, Don, you and Elaine and I and Rita and I had it like the same time, as I recall.
Right.
And you had to wait a month. Do you still – I mean, I know on the J&J it's one shot, okay, because my daughter had. But I'm wondering, do you still have to wait a month to get the second shot of Moderna and Pfizer?
No, 2 weeks, Roger. 2 weeks.
Oh, it's 2 weeks.
I think it's 2 weeks.
Not a month like it used to be.
Pfizer and three for Moderna, but that's a prescriber thing. It's not like you can do it any quicker.
Yeah.
Well, Moderna was 2 weeks, Roger. You and I, we both got Moderna, so we worked on a 2 week basis.
No, it was a month between the first and the second, Don, and then it's 2 weeks, and then you're clear. Because we had it like February 9th, and then we had it March 9th, the second one.
Well, I was a little quicker than that, but I can't remember the exact,
date
was.
Wrong.
But
I thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
But
Tommy,
Roger,
are you there, Tommy, or are you sleeping?
No, I'm here. This is a great conversation tonight. It's a great conversation. Well, Mike, you signed Ovechkin to a big deal. You think the window shutting down in the Capitals for getting another cup?
All right, so, Tommy, I knew you were going to come out with me with this. So, yes, 5 years, $47.5 million. If and when Ovechkin sees out this contract, he will be one of three people in Washington, D.C. sports history that has played 20 seasons for the same team. Since I'm in a trivia mood, can you all name the other two?
Wes Unseld?
Nope. But good guess. 13 years with the Bullets.
That's right. Oh, I'm trying to think. Can't be Dennis Mareau because he played 1 year with the Capitals. Can't be Dennis Mareau.
Are you Mike? Are you happy with the signing? It's a big number and a number of years, and you're talking about the best scorer in the National Hockey League right now. Are you a positive in that regard, or are you on the fence?
All right, I'll give you the answer. It's Darryl Green and Walter Johnson.
Oh, that's right.
I think that it's a necessary signing for the Caps.
Right.
The best player in franchise history, you just can't let him walk. So much of the contract is going to be based on who he was, not who he is. I think that it gives the Caps a definite window of about two seasons, where they can win the Stanley Cup. Because after the third season, I really feel like they're going to start paying him for who he was, not who he could be. Right now, they have $3.4 million under salary cap to work with. But they've also still got Ilya Samsonov, who's a restricted free agent, who they need to sign, because if they don't re-sign him, they have no goalkeepers. And so they also need to re-sign a backup goalkeeper, because Vitek Vanacek was taken by Kraken. So it's going to be very, very tight. We saw them make a couple of trades. Zdeno Chara's gone. Also, the defenseman Brendan Dillon's gone. They did replace one of them with Michael Kempe from the Flyers. So, essentially, they're relying on a lot of the same lineup that they had last year, which was good enough to get them a first-round exit from the playoffs. Unless they're able to make a couple of other moves and free up some money, I don't see. But, you know, when you're dealing with somebody like Ovechkin, you're really...
Mike, let me interrupt for a second. What is Ovechkin's age? I really don't know what his age
maybe
is.
35.
Pardon me?
35? I was taking a wild guess, guys. I don't know.
No, he's 35.
47 million for somebody
35
years old. That's a lot of money.
Well, I think they sat there and said, how many years do you anticipate playing? He said, probably until I'm 40. And they, all right, how much is it going to cost? And that's how they arrived at it, because I just don't see how they could have let him walk in free agency. But at the same time, you got to be careful how much you pay. We know what the cap penalties are in the NHL, and they are harsh for signing older players to rich long-term deals. Look at what the Canadians could potentially go through with Shea Weber possibly retired. And we saw that with the Flyers.
Great.
With Chris Pronger.
Exactly.
You know, there are some harsh penalties for this.
Roger, we haven't even gotten to soccer yet. So many things going on in the world of soccer. So, Roger, pick it up.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, what did you think of the women, the USA women losing to Sweden?
You know, I really don't know where to go with that. This tournament has not gone how we thought it would. But then again, the whole entire Olympics haven't gone how we thought it would. Did you all see the tape of the boat propellers and the boat in the triathlon and the boat capsizing and the crew and just all the ridiculousness that has happened? Like, I'm not sure whether I'm watching the Olympics anymore or the Three Stooges.
Stooges.
It's really tough. I have seen teams struggle, men's and women's teams struggle through preliminary rounds of tournaments. We've all seen teams that have struggled through early portions of tournaments. You know, some are able to turn it on and move on and do great things. Others, it ends very quickly. So taken from the men's side of things, back in 2012, Spain in the Euros was going to do something, you know, remarkable like the U.S. women are. If the U.S. women win the gold medal, they'll be the first women's team to hold the World Cup and the gold medal in the Olympics, the two major tournaments for women's soccer at the same time. Spain would have become the second team on the men's side to win three major tournaments, in their case, the Euros, the World Cup, and the Defend the Euros, in a row. They went through the group stages of that tournament pretty much sleepwalking, and then won their first one or two matches in the knockout rounds, 1-0, and everybody thought that was the end. And then they came out and absolutely housed Italy in the finals and proved how great they were. Right, and in that case, you know, they were able to turn it on when it was necessary. If I look at the Euros this year, France was by far the most talented team and the defending World Cup tournaments or champions. They sleptwalked through the group stage and ended up losing to Switzerland in the knockout rounds. So you never know. I hope that the USA women, for as veteran and as talented and as many fires that they've been through, have the ability to go out when they play the Netherlands which I think it's like, it's Friday. Now, I believe it's like really, really, like 12:40 in the morning Friday. So basically Thursday night. I think that they have enough to get past the Netherlands team. But the Netherlands are good. Like right now, the Dutch are scoring goals for fun. They scored 21 goals in the group stage, 10 against Nigeria and 8 against China. On the flip side, they will give you opportunities to score. The problem is that the U.S., outside of the 6-1 game against New Zealand, the U.S. women they couldn't score in a brothel with a fistful of hundreds.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't been happy with NBC's coverage, number one. And it all started on the opening ceremonies with the where they featured Megan, or what is it, Rapinoe, the troublemaker. Okay, they gave her all that airtime on the bus, and I've gone on record. You know, I'm not big into social media, but I put it out to a number of my friends. I think NBC totally screwed up as far as the network goes. Because on that team is Julie Ertz, whose husband's a tight end on the Philadelphia Eagles. They could have, instead of spending all that time on that woman, they could have put it Julie Ertz, and then also the woman from South Jersey, both stars, whose husband's a pro
Carly
golfer.
Lloyd.
Carly Lloyd, exactly. They could have had those two, and would have tied into their NFL coverage and their golf coverage, asking Julie Ertz, what's your prediction of the NFL this year? You could have gotten more people, because there's more people that despise that woman than like that woman. Okay,
Roger,
the
ratings were terrible.
I
know.
They're awful. Because it was, the ratings were terrible because it was an awful production and nobody wants to pay attention to
it. It is.
To be
You're
honest.
Exactly right, Mike.
And then the other thing they did was they went
great.
To the Peacock Network. They tried to force you over there to the Peacock Network, and that didn't work out very well because half the people couldn't get it. You know, you didn't have to pay for it during the Olympics. You had to pay after the Olympics were over. I think it's $2 or something a month for some part of it and $8 or something for another part of it. But they tried to force people to the Peacock, and they couldn't
people
refuse. Where commercials came up, they had blank air. I mean, unbelievably bad.
I mean, it's and the other part of it is, you know, the events are about 12 hours ahead. Unlike when China had the Olympics, they flipped the clock so that most stuff was occurring. So the finals were in the morning, and then the preliminaries were in the evening. So they were kind of keeping up, so that was live. Japan either won or can't. You know, as far Rogers Rapinoe goes, lover or hater, in the words of Muhammad Ali, at least you're watching, right? You know, he doesn't care whether 50%
I'm not watching
of you
her.
50% of her, you hate him. Everybody's watching it, and I'm not going to get into her politics or anything like that, except to say, like, she has been a good servant to the U.S. Women's Club, whether you like her or not. She's been a good player for them, but she's one of the reasons why they're in the predicament that they're in, because she's not putting the ball in the net. Carly Lloyd's not putting the ball in the net. Morgan's not putting the ball in the net. Outside of the game that they played against New Zealand, which was a team that hadn't played together in 18 months, they haven't scored a single goal. So they're going to need to figure that one out. And
they got more publicity on the Swedish team wearing shorts instead of bikini bathing suits. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Don, this is the post-COVID Olympics, and I think we just need to all accept it for what it's going to be. And I'll be honest, I think I've watched like 10 minutes live, and it's simply because after, and it has nothing to do with any of the social issues. I could care less about that. I tend not to let my social stuff interfere with my sports. I genuinely just don't care. You know, it's hard to get to be interested in watching something that when I wake up, I already know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last USA game started at 12:40. By the time I woke up in the morning, I already knew that they had drawn with the Australian team. Why would I be bothered to watch it? It's just not been from the lack of fans in the stadium to the coverage, which because of the COVID restrictions in Japan, they're not able to get the access and have the movement that the producers and the personalities want. It's just
Mike, I'll just say one thing about it. I'll tell you, the venues are absolutely magnificent. I mean, I got to say, everything that
I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, it's really every. I don't care what event you watch, whether it's softball, whether it's swimming, every venue is. But as you just pointed out, Mike, and I agree with 100%. And people found out in the National Football League, with no people in the stands, in basketball and hockey, the same way. To me, they should have postponed it for another year until they can at least have. With nobody there, there's no juice. Nothing happens.
And you're seeing mistakes that I think would not have been made if people had been on a natural preparation trajectory. I don't know if any of y'all saw the crew. The crew races today. One of the boats almost drove into another, and one of the Great British boats capsized. I've been watching the Olympics for a number of times. I've never seen anything like that in a final. Like, one of the boats, seriously, the coxswain almost drove it into another one. Like, this does not happen. This started the triathlon. They had a boat out in front of the women that almost chopped them up in the propellers. Like, come on, dude.
I'll go out to watch it at Boathouse Row on the Schuylkill, Mike.
That's right.
Like, one of the skateboarders was warming up, and he's going through his practice run, and he can't compete in the Olympics because he gets a knee injury because right as he's about to go on the practice run, one of the judges walks right out in front of him.
Mike, I'll tell you, I've seen more things that you've never seen in your – I mean, I've been watching baseball for a long, long time. And I never, in all these years, I don't care if it was Little League, Babe Ruth League, Major Leagues, Minor Leagues, the other night when the Yankees played, four wild pitches in one inning. I mean, the Yankees were ahead by a run, and before they – the guy got off the mound, he thrown four wild pitches, and the Yankees were down by a run. It was unbelievable.
And we are seeing stuff in Don.
Where did you ever see four wild pitches in a major league game and one pitcher in one inning? Never.
Yeah.
I mean,
and runs scored with no hits or no, and nothing but walks. And wild pitches. I've seen that this year. I never saw it before.
Oh, I'm telling you.
So going back to the Olympics, like Katie Ledecky, who's from this area, finishing fifth. Like I've been one of her signature races. I'm wondering, like, if we had been on a normal competition trajectory, would we have seen anything like that? So it's hard. And going back to the U.S. women, like it's hard to imagine, you know. I'm going to take them for what they are now because that's the only thing that I have to judge them on. But with all of this, it's like, where would we have been had this occurred the way that it was supposed to when it was supposed to? And I agree, like, I'm going to go a bit further than you, Don, and say, like, we should have just scrapped it. You know, forget it. It's not happening this year. Come back in 2024. Vaya con Dios to all the people who would have competed and been great. Like, I'm very, very sorry that this happened to you, but we saw it with the Soviet boycott of the U.S. Olympics in L.A. We saw it with the U.S. boycott of the Moscow Olympics. Like, every once in a while, things happen, and you can get drinks for free off of what could have been, but I almost would have rather have not seen than, well, not watch,
well,
because I'm not. What's
Mike, you
on?
Know what it comes down to. You know what it comes down to. The almighty dollar. Okay?
Right.
Because
about,
look
Roger,
at
right.
all the investments that Japan made into those beautiful venues, which I agree with Don. And the other thing is at NBC, what they invested. Because I can remember in the Seoul Olympics that they a woman that I knew very well worked at NBC Sports in New York. She had to go there. She was head of client relations. She had to go there 3 months out, okay, to get everything together. Was not home for 3 months, at least 3 months. So there's just too much money invested in it. Okay, for, not only from the athletes, in my opinion, but from the country and from the networks.
I think you're talking about $6 billion is total that this Olympics
$6 billion
generate.
Yeah,
so about six.
Well, they were saying with the ratings as low as they were, the lowest they've been in what 33 years or something like that. That you know that NBC's not going to be able to recoup. I mean, if
oh no. You're right.
Yeah, but I also think, like, all sports ratings throughout COVID have been astronomically off. And that's because, from my mind, we tune in, and most of us are watching games without fans
right.
there. And it's hollow. Like, why am I watching this? And,
yeah, but,
and
Mike, look at what the look at what the ratings were for the NFL draft. They were better than the NBA final, as I recall.
And we need to get stuff back on schedule so it shows up when we think it should. I'm not cool with the NBA finals being played around July 4th. You know, but I will say, over July 4th weekend, I was up in Philly, and I got to go to see the Phils and the Padres play. And it was nice to be back in the stadium, however much filled Citizens Bank Park was that day. But to be back
and to hear Dan Baker back doing the PA for the Phillies after what he went through.
Yes, and it was nice. And I was there with a good friend of mine from Texas. He was the best man at my wedding. And we sat there for the first time in, you know, 18 months. Life felt normal. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing and hoping that that can happen. And, you know, we talk about vaccines, masks, whatever, urging everybody, like, you know, do your part. Like, help, let's help everything get back to normal. Because, to go from watching the Phils play in a stadium and being able to sit around and talk and feel like the good old days to watching the Olympics with nobody in the stands, I'm like, yo, can we all just get together and agree? Like, let's do our part and help get things back to normal so we don't have to deal with that, so we can deal with the stuff that we enjoy.
Right. Yeah, well, Mike, you know that tonight's Phillies game was canceled because of 12 players having COVID. So
yeah, I know.
They're going to try again
Trey
tomorrow,
Turner,
but what happens?
Trey Turner was pulled out because he tested positive for COVID, and I don't know whether it was 12 of them that tested positive or 12 of them that need to enter into the protocol because they were in contact with Trey Turner.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we need to deal with, even when you have vaccinated players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not so much the risk of them having it because the statistics show, like, even with the vaccine, the chances of having symptomatic COVID are relatively low, but we need to protect the non-vaccinated players, non-vaccinated people, and make sure that those who are immunocompromised, like Ron Rivera, are safe as well. And, you almost feel, and this is as political as I'm ever going to get on the show, it's like, just do your part.
Ooh.
Like, come on, do your part. And
yep.
We can get back, and so that we don't have to worry about games being canceled for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right.
Well, Knowles, we got two pretty good games on tonight. The Braves and Mets are tied 1-1 in the top of the sixth inning, and now it's the bottom of the sixth. The third out just recorded a pop-up to second base. And the Yankees and Rays are tied 1-1. So a lot of good baseball to watch. And all we can do, I don't know what the ratings on the Olympics are going to be tonight.
Well, we're on, Don, so it'll be very low.
Well, they got one break. Philly with the COVID will be on TV tonight, so they may be a lot of big ratings in Philadelphia.
Hey, Frank,
well,
you know,
the Olympics has already occurred. We don't have to worry about the Olympics until 12:40 tomorrow morning.
That's good. Look, is Doug tied up tonight?
Yeah, Doug's tied up with he had a scramble at 6 o'clock, so he didn't think he would make it.
Tommy, what are you watching
first
tonight?
Time caller,
we got to catch up. We got to catch up with you.
Oh, we got
and
a
find out what you're doing
caller,
over
Don.
There.
Okay,
first
time
caller. Yeah, Bob, you want to go ahead and talk?
Oh, I was watching the Mets game. The Mets tied up with what? Mets in Atlanta.
Great.
I was kind of hoping Alonzo. Tied up at one. I was hoping Alonzo was going to hit another home run, but that didn't happen.
Bob, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from northern New Jersey.
Oh, good. Welcome aboard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you're watching the Mets game, as you said, it's 1-1. They're in the bottom of the sixth inning. Now I'm watching that as we do the show and going back and forth between the Yankee game and the Mets game. But just so happens that both of them are tied 1-1 and both of them are in the sixth inning. So you got to sort of jump back and forth to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to watch the Phillies game myself from here. I never really was a Phillies fan. I was once upon a time I was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan.
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
Whoa.
I was a little boy.
We're in that category, Bob, age wise.
Bob, what was your first year of watching the Dodgers, listening to the Dodgers?
First what?
What
year? Oh, probably 1949, possibly.
Oh, okay. I started 1944. Leo Durocher played third. Tommy Brown Leo Durocher played shortstop and managed the team. Tommy Brown was at third base. Dixie Walker in right field. Goodman Rosen in center. Archie Vaughn in left. 1944.
Tommy, you weren't born yet.
He was still
twinkling his dad's eye.
I thought Leo Durocher was manager of the New York Giants.
They were the great days, Bob, of the Dodgers. They were the cream of the crop, boy, I'll tell you. To go to L.A., it was a lot of fun following. It was a lot of fun going to the games and it all changed after they left Brooklyn.
Yeah, I went to Ebbets Field as a child.
They played at Ebbets Field, but they also played a few games, you remember, at Jersey City. They tried to force New York to build the stadium by saying they were going to move. And they never got together on where they wanted to put the stadium. The Dodgers wanted to put it in one place. O'Malley's wanted to get out in California, and Branch Rickey wanted to have him in Brooklyn, and they never really got together. They finally built the stadium out where Shea Stadium is, and that has nothing to do with Brooklyn.
Right. Bob, where exactly do you live in North Jersey?
The place is called Highland Lake. In Vernon County.
Oh, I know where Highland Lakes is.
Really?
It's out up there off of 80, right?
It's further north than that. It's very close to the New York border, a town called Warwick, New York.
Oh, yeah, Warwick. Is that up off of 206?
It's near the ski slopes in Vernon Township.
Is that anywhere near Stark?
Okay, yeah.
Is that anywhere near Stark, Roger?
It's near Vernon Valley, which is where the old Playboy Resort was.
Oh,
if
okay.
If you're up in Vernon Township.
Fort Gorge. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Great Gorge. That's right. It. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There used to be a place there called Action Park.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They made I think HBO has a little documentary about how everybody was getting injured. A lot of people got seriously injured in Action Park. They used to call it.
Yeah, just so you know, Roger has the landscape of Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Georgia down because at the end of the month he forgets to pay the rent.
Well, Great Gorge is a gambling resort now, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
No, it was a long time ago, but they were trying to get it to be a gambling resort. And when it was the Playboy Club, and it never really was approved because they didn't want to challenge, they didn't want to compete with they didn't want a competition for Atlantic City.
Well, that's right. Okay.
It never really became successful as a gambling resort.
And the Playboy Hotel in Atlantic City did not, after it was constructed, did not last very long because they built that on like three levels of gambling, and that's not the American way. They want gambling one level. I mean, that's the way it was at that time.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, you live in a great part of the country over there, Bob. I'll tell you that. Upper North Jersey is outstanding.
Beautiful.
You're close enough to New York, but you don't have any trouble.
Right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Bob, is there still a minor league team up there?
Yes, there is. It's
up
called the Sussex Miners, MIN. Because of mining, there was a lot of mining up in this area a long time ago. They used to mine iron up here during the Revolution.
Yeah, and it's a really nice ballpark.
Yes, very nice. We go there often to see the miners play.
Are they in the same league with Somerset, where the Yankees moved? Are they in the same area league with that?
Actually, it's not a minor league team. Well, it's not associated with a pro team. It's a separate. It's a Can-Am.
Oh, okay.
Canada American.
Yeah, that independent league. Yeah.
Yeah. But
well, you know, Don, that where they were in the Somerset, that's a beautiful ballpark. It used to be Commerce Bank Park, I think, and then it was TD Bank Park. I've been to see games there.
Oh,
and,
they spent a ton of money upgrading when the Yankees took over, moved their minor league franchise, their Double A team out of Trenton, and moved it up to Somerset. They spent a ton of money up there, so it's beautiful.
Well, it is, and the Raritan line on the New Jersey Transit goes right across the outfield, you know, because that's where the tracks are. It was really neat there. To see the trains going by and dropping people off and everything. It was cool.
Hey, Roger, take your time out for a minute. Bob, thank you for calling. Please don't be a stranger on this show. You're always welcome. We love your comments. And, guys, another great show tonight. And Roger, thank you for your time.
Thank you. God bless. Mike, it was good to hear Mike Simzak again. Tommy, you, Frank, you know, Don, just to be all back together. And Roy, all back together.
Great to do it all over again, and sorry we didn't get Sonny Hill to join us, but one of those things, he had a prior commitment, I guess he couldn't. We'll try to check in with him tomorrow and see if we can line him up for next week as well. But, you know, anytime we get together, it's always a lot of fun, fellas.
Yes, it is. It's
wonderful.
It's great. Great show tonight. I had a good time listening to all the different stories tonight, and that's what makes the show so wonderful. It's like we're sitting around a table talking sports, and that's why I look forward to this week every week. So, Don, thank you for coming on.
Tommy, we don't want to forget Brian Bradley from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, for his good friend of mine and that. So, Frank, my family, your family, have a beautiful week. Roger and Don, God bless you guys every week for coming on. Frank, you're the captain of the ship. All we are is the, I should say you're the chief. And we
all right,
just
Tommy, stay awake for another half hour. The Rays are still playing. It's still 1-1.
Yeah,
don't fall asleep on us.
Great conversation tonight. Thank you, Don. Great conversation tonight.
Take care.
Thank you, Frank, for everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week.
And the best to your bride, Frank, and tell her we certainly understand the difficulties of what she went through and the very best.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge it. Acknowledge them. These are very tough times for everybody in uniform. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Putnam Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman, Patrol Deputy Charlie Kotloff, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Rodney Bunn, Delaware State Police, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Delaware State Trooper Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Bob McCutcheon, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Brian Levake, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Sergeant Mike Malik, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the palm of his hand. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
Shema hezahir ma son ashen vorat fet akuig again ma irma bravest in the field. So I wish him strength and length of days. Shame on him, my Ira, ma. Shame on Ira, Ira, ma. Soon I'll shame him for a thing. Talk to me again, my Ira, ma.
All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.